Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all six world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at BostonScores.org/Noah.
The Bruins, the NHL. This is the show that's all hockey.
He scores!
The Sports Hub Hockey Show with Ryan Johnston, Judd Sirai, and Bob Beers. On 98.5, The Sports Hub.
To another edition of the Sports Hub Hockey Show here on 98.5, the Sports Hub of Saturday morning. Gang in studio here, Ryan Johnston, Judd Surratt, Bob Beers in the Town Fair Tire Studio. We'll take your calls throughout, 617-779-0985. We'll talk with Joe Haggerty later on in the hour. Billy Jaffe will join us in the final half hour of the show today. And we will also, later this hour, have a chance for you to score some tickets to go see the NCAA regionals up in Manchester. We get some tickets this week and next for those as that comes up at the end of the month. Bruins, well, we got here last Saturday, and the Bruins were in the midst of this epic point streak. We come back a week later, and they've lost three in a row, and the injuries have piled up, and it's, you know, not exactly a bleak outlook for this team right now, but it's it doesn't feel nearly as good as it did a week ago here, guys. What happened? What happened on this road trip that that leaves the Bruins looking to snap a losing streak as opposed to looking to extend what this massive point streak they were on a week ago?
I think you could see signs of this at the end of the point streak. Not necessarily starting on time, not defending in the same way. I think, you know, in the game in Columbus in particular, even Bruce Cassidy had mentioned, listen, you're going to have one of those nights where goals go in. But I think the issue was how they were going into their net. And then I think beyond that, the fatigue, the schedule, some holes in their lineup because they're missing some key bodies. I think all of that conspired to essentially, you know, have the Bruins go winless across the three games. That's essentially what you're seeing. You know, can coming home help get a little jolt of energy from being at TD Garden? Yeah, I think that'll help. Could you potentially have Torrey Krug back in the lineup? We're going to find that out a little bit later. The Bruins are going to be on the ice here a little bit earlier at 10:30. And we'll see if they're able to sharpen up the way that they defend.
Yeah, I mean, it was going to catch up to them at some point, right? We're waiting for a little bit of a letdown. We're waiting for them to maybe slip a little bit. 15-0-4, they're probably not as good as that. And they're not as bad as three losses in a row either. Sure. So it's somewhere in between. Hopefully it's a little closer to the 15-0-4 team. But no, this team has shown a lot of character all year long. You know, they've battled. They're never say die kind of attitude. But some things have crept into their game, no question. I mean, they've fallen behind early. You referenced the Columbus game, Judd. They had a pre-scout saying, "Look, you know, a lot of plays initiate from behind the net. You know, we've got to protect the front of the net because they really rotate the puck down and they cycle the puck down low." And, you know, the two goals is specifically in the second period, at least two goals in the second period, were direct result of that. You know, cycle it down low behind the net, find a guy out in front. Mm-hmm. So there's some breakdowns, and there's some areas that need to be cleaned up. Now, they didn't mind the way they played against Winnipeg for the most part. They liked a lot of the things they did. There were some mistakes there, no question. But they liked some of the things they did in that game. Came up short again, though. So I think injuries have definitely caught up to them. There's no question about that. You can keep your head above water for so long, you know, but these are key injuries. These are you know, you're missing three guys on the back end that would be playing for you. You're missing three guys on the front, on, you know, the forwards that would be playing significant roles for you. So they do catch up to you. And I think some of the guys that have stepped in have actually played pretty well at times. And then they've had to juggle at times. You know, they made some changes last game with Clifton and Carey coming into the lineup. And for Carey making his debut in a Bruins uniform, played well with David Krejci, you know, a lot of the games. So I think coming back home helps them. I think you want to see some of these injured guys start to get back and healthy. Columbus played last night. Columbus got dominated last night. It seemed like any time they touched the puck, they scored because they got dominated by Carolina, at least on paper. I didn't see the game. I'm just reading all the statistics from the game. I mean, if it wasn't for Bobrovsky, they lose. So you come in at an advantage again. But the same situation was last week where Columbus played in Long Island or played the Islanders the day before, and you know the Bruins didn't come out and start on time. So,
and a couple of those teams, two of those three teams, Winnipeg aside, because they're going to challenge for the Central Division crown.
Teams.
You got some desperate teams that are
Pittsburgh's playing Pittsburgh's playing well right now. And then Columbus starts to put it together because on paper, that team should be better than fighting for a playoff spot. That team should be pretty good. And they made significant changes, and sometimes that takes a little while to gain traction.
You guys both mentioned kind of starting on time. You know, you see the Bruins falling behind in these games. And we saw that even during the point streak. That was something that was starting to happen more
toward
and more.
At the tail end, not at the start of the point streak.
The last week, week and a half.
Yeah, but I mean, it's, you know, the Bruins are probably better than most. I haven't looked at the stats on it, but as far as coming back from these deficits, but at the same time, like, you can't rely on yourself in this league to get behind by a goal or two every night and think that you're going to be successful more often than not. I know the comeback victories are up in the league this year, but it's still a tough place to be on a regular basis.
They call it chasing the game, right? You can't chase the game. And play with a lead, extend the lead, you know, make the other team have to get out of their comfort zone and do some things. And then now you've got them where you want them, right? I mean, more often than not, especially if you're a good team, a good structured team, and when the Bruins are on their game, you know, that's still their strong point, and that's something that they kind of have to get back to right now.
And the coaches, they started to stress that, even at the tail end of the point streak, when they started to fashion some of these comebacks, that, hey, you can't do this all the time. And I don't think that there was a false sense of security that crept into the room. It just so happened that the other teams were better at the start of the game. I don't feel like that the Bruins felt, you know what, there's no deficit that we can't overcome. There are a few teams that I know that have that mentality. But I don't think that that's the case. The coaches had reminded them, listen, you know, we need to be able to start on time because it will, especially at this juncture of the season with the roster that they have to field at this point because of some of the injuries, it's going to help them down the road if they can get off to a good start when the puck drops.
617-779-0985 is our number. We can get to your calls coming up. We can also, I want to talk a little bit more about that. And I also, you know, obviously with the some of the totals that they're giving up, we've become accustomed during the course of this season to seeing a lot of games where the Bruins opponents are two goals or less. Last three games during this stretch, four goals, seven goals, four goals against. We'll talk a little bit about the defense. Obviously, there's been injuries there. But what we're seeing on the ice here over the last three games. Again, 617-779-0985. It's Ryan Johnston, Judd Surratt, Bob Beers with you here on the Sports Hub Hockey Show.
Get in on the discussion. 617-779-0985. The Sports Hub Hockey Show. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. It is the Sports Hub Hockey Show. Ryan Johnston, Judd Surratt, and Bob Beers with you. 617-779-0985 as the Bruins get set to host the Columbus Blue Jackets tonight over at TD Garden. Busy day over there today with the Celtics in action this afternoon. We got the guys here, and as we open the show talking about the three-game losing streak and on this road trip that the Bruins went on, one of the things that kind of stands out, injuries aside, is the fact that the Bruins, you know, gave up four goals twice and seven goals in the middle there against Columbus. It's been a ongoing discussion with this team throughout the course of the year, talking about team defense. That it's not just the six guys who are, you know, your defensemen. It's a team concept. That, I assume, becomes even more so when you're missing three of your top six defensemen. And yes, you have John Moore, and yes, you have Steve Kampfer, who can step into the lineup here as guys go out, but you're missing a good portion of your defensive core. How do you think the team responded to that over the course of the last few games? What would you like to see them do differently if they can't get these guys back healthy as quickly as we might hope? You know, you said Torrey Krug's got a shot at maybe playing today. We'll find out a little bit later on this morning. But what have you thought about the team defensively throughout this through this three-game road trip?
I mean, obviously very average, but some of that starts up the ice as well. You know what I mean? There's an offensive zone faceoff the other day in Winnipeg. Offensive zone faceoff, and it ends up being a 3-on-2 the other way, and you know they score. So, you know, it can be different areas. You know, you talk about the defensemen that are missing, the forwards that are missing are good puck possession guys in the offensive zone. You know, guys that can generate some offense and put teams back on their heels. You know, you're missing DeBrus, Pastrnak, and well, we have, you know, Johansson's a kind of a incomplete on the grade right now because we haven't seen him that much. But there's you know, those are three pretty good offensive guys as well. So it starts all over the ice, and I just think for them defensively, you know, and I go back to that Columbus game because that was the game. You know, they talked about what they needed to do defensively against them in order to play better, and I think they addressed it a little bit against Winnipeg, and they were better against Winnipeg in the defensive side of things. But you know, they let up some pretty good opportunities against Columbus, and that was uncharacteristic of where they need to be right now. So you know, they bread and butter, if you're gonna be successful in the playoffs and still stand on that, you need to be good defensively, and they've been, you know, top three or top four all season long in terms of team defense, and they need to get back to that right now. The scoring will come, you know, but even when it dries up, you need to be good defensively. And if you're going to play against the Toronto Maple Leafs in the first round of the playoffs, which, again, it certainly looks like you're going to, whether you're going to have home ice or not, you better know how to defend, and you better defend well, and you may better make it hard on teams to come in there, better make it hard on them to come in there. And that's kind of where they need to get back to right now.
I think Bruce Cassidy talked a little bit about that last point the other night, that, you know, one of the things that you could point to during much of that point streak was the fact that the Bruins were a very tough team to play against. No matter who they were playing or where they were playing,
make teams earn it.
They were outworking the other team on a regular basis. And, you know, he kind of flipped that the other way the other night and said, you know, it feels like teams are getting the better of us right now.
Yeah, and who do they play? They played teams that were desperate. Mm-hmm. They played Columbus. They played Pittsburgh. You know, these teams were desperate. And Winnipeg wasn't happy about losing in the last couple of seconds against San Jose a couple days before they played the Bruins. You know, and that's a good team, Winnipeg is. And I know that they've been around the 500 mark here recently, but that's a good team. And so you've run into a couple of and then you have a little target on your back, too, when you come in at 15-0-4. You know what I mean? So, I mean, Pittsburgh beat Washington a couple days later. Washington was on a 6 or 7 game win streak. So, you know, you're playing these teams that are desperate. And like I said before, 15-0-4, you know, did you get away with a couple during that span? Yeah, but you also worked, and it takes a lot out of you. It takes a lot out of you to win in some of the ways that they were winning. And then with some of the injuries that they've had in order to keep that streak alive. And it was going to catch up to them at some point. Now, I think we said a few weeks ago, all right, this is going to end at some point. And when it does end, how long is the losing streak going to go?
Right.
So, all right, now it's time to pull yourself out of it. And that's what they're faced with right now. You play at home tonight, and then you got four more on the road. So, and you got Tampa two more times. You got Florida two more times. You got some tough games coming up.
And I think the adage, by the way, around the National Hockey League is good teams don't have long losing streaks. And basically for the Bruins, that hasn't happened all year. I mean, what we're seeing right now, three straight losses in regulation, only happened one other time that
have
came
they had
early December. No, they have not. They have, in fact, they haven't gone winless in four straight games all season long. So that's a little bit new for this team. So let's see if they can rectify it. But it, as Bob alluded to, it's been a little bit of everything. Dealing with some pressure that, Pittsburgh applied in the first period, in the first game to start the road trip. The plays down low from Columbus. The other thing that they mentioned, by the way, in reading some of the clips from Columbus, they felt it was pretty easy coming through the neutral zone. That was one of the things that the Bruins also pride themselves on. Part of that is a personnel issue for the Boston Bruins. And then the other thing that Bob alluded to, as far as the offense and zone draw, and then you got a 3-on-2 coming the other way, they get behind early, and you had the Bruins get three forwards caught on the first goal, and the second one, I think you had, it was an offensive zone penalty for the Bruins that puts the league's number one power play on the ice. I thought that, Bob and I both felt that there should have been an extra minor penalty assessed. Was it Tyler Myers who played frisbee with a puck?
Oh, yeah.
When Brad Marchand, was called for slashing. But that was, again, all of these things start to add up, and that's what you've seen as the Bruins have gone
he's
three straight without
and
a loss.
Bruce Cassidy, he's had to shorten the bench. He's had guys that he hasn't been happy with at certain times. Against Columbus, he went to three lines in the third period. There were a couple guys that didn't play. And against Winnipeg, at the end of the first, he had to sit a couple of guys he wasn't happy with. They ended up responding, well, but he wasn't happy with some guys. So he's tried to send some messages that way, but he's dealing with a shorter bench anyhow, with some of the injuries that he's had. So, you've moved Coyle from center to wing now. Is that going to stay? I don't know. I mean, these are answers that are still questions that they have, but they can't figure it out yet because they don't have everybody healthy. And we don't know the extent of some of these injuries. Is DeBrusk going to play today? He hasn't had a full practice yet. Does today constitute one? It's a morning skate. They don't have time to practice, so it's kind of tough to evaluate and figure out where guys are at. Is Johansson skating yet? Is Pastrnak able to participate yet? What's his status? So there's still a lot of questions forward lines, and they had these questions when they picked up Coyle and Johansson, and they still have them. Where are these guys best fit in?
Let's go to your calls, 617-779-0985. Mark is up first. Good morning, Mark.
Hey, good morning, guys. A couple of things real quick. First off, can we call the Torrey Krug upper body injury what it is?
What is it?
He was sat. Come on. He got benched the game before that, came back in the third period, played till the end, and then all of a sudden he's got a mysterious upper body injury, he's out the next game.
You think they healthy scratched him with the injuries that they've got?
Absolutely. To teach him a lesson. I think they did. I that's my opinion, and I'm not the only one that's saying it, guys. I'm really not. Okay? And the second thing, the Toronto game last night, what a comeback. What a comeback. And now it's 2 points. The Bruins better get their heads out of their you-know-what, because pretty soon they might be playing Toronto in Toronto.
I appreciate the call, Mark. I mean, I think we're all disagree with you on the Torrey Krug thing.
Well, I don't disagree with the fact that he wasn't good against Columbus.
No, but you're not exactly in a position right now where, if you have eight healthy defensemen, that's a possibility. When you're down a couple of defensemen already,
my guess is you're not
going to sit him out for just because he wasn't good one night.
Based on the emergency rules, you have to have an injured player in order to get a guy that you can put into your lineup.
Right.
From Providence. Connor Clifton cannot play in that game unless Torrey Krug is hurt.
And they have to document that.
Yeah, I mean, he could have a back injury.
He'd be sore,
No, I don't think that was, obviously, I don't think that was the case. But, you're taking your best power play guy off, out of the lineup. Whatever. That wasn't the case. He's dealing with something.
There's no doubt he did not play well in that game.
No, he didn't.
It's going to happen. We've talked about him on a number of occasions, though, whether it's people who wanted to deal him earlier in the season or what have you, that, he is not going to be a defenseman. You're going to deal with some mistakes. You're going to deal with some of that in the defensive end. But what he brings to you at the offensive end and on the power play more than makes up for that on most nights.
I mean, if you're down a goal in a game, you want him on the ice. If you're up a goal in a game, you're probably not going to see him nearly as much. I mean, that's just that's the way it is, and that's the way that they've used him. You know, when they've been down a goal, or you know, offensive zone faceoffs, it's him and McAvoy out there a lot. You know, defensive zone faceoffs, he's not going to start a lot of the defensive zone faceoffs. He's not out there. So, I mean, he's one of the best power play guys in the league.
On, you know, piloting, basically, quarterbacking one of the league's best power plays overall. And for a team that has had a hard time scoring 5-on-5, the Bruins are still easily in the bottom third in the National Hockey League in goals 5-on-5. And even though Torrey Krug has only played 59 games, he is 10th among the league defensemen in scoring.
Even if you were, you know, toying with the idea of, okay, he didn't play well against Columbus, sit him down, you'd still have him in the lineup just as an offensive type of player. And if you wanted to sit him and reduce his ice time, I'm not saying that's the case.
Right.
I'm saying
you could basically play 5D and have him play
offensive situations.
Pat, you're up next here on the Sports Hub Hockey Show. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I can assure you and promise you that they didn't bench Torrey Krug for any discipline. He's the best puck-moving defenseman the Bruins have. And like you say, he's right up there in the league with defensemen as far as on the power play and stuff. So that wasn't a bench. But I just really believe I'd love to see these guys just balance it out. I'm not big on streaks. I'd like to see them just a few losses is okay. When you build a streak, you put a bullseye on your back, teams start coming for you, and they play harder against you, and you have to pick up your game. If you don't, you're going to lose. So I'd just like to see him balance it out. A few losses here and there is okay. Let's make the playoffs, and then let's go on our streak.
Yeah, it's, you know, peak at the right time, and for them right now, a lot of those bad habits crept in. So just get back to playing a complete game. Get back to playing more, you know, have a consistent effort. You know, you always talk about playing 60 minutes. It's not always going to be the case, but, you know, get back to playing a little bit closer to that, you know, where you're not fighting from behind all the time. Defend well. Be hard to play against. You know, get your timely goals, and things will start to come around for them. I don't think they're hitting a panic button right now, but at the same time, okay, you know, let's get, even when we were getting away with a few games towards the end of the streak, we weren't doing the things that we needed to. So let's get back to that.
Opening day at TD Garden, Cam Neely joins us. What are the two things that are most important to the team? Health and the process that we play with.
At the trade deadline, Donnie Sweeney said, we just want to get through this healthy. You know, we just want to get to the playoffs healthy. And, well, you see what's happened since then.
Right, and it's going to matter for both teams. I mean, Toronto, part of the impact that you're seeing defensively for them, it's not just Freddie Anderson, but it's the fact that they're missing a couple of guys in the back end, and Travis Dermott and Jake Gardner. Whatever you may think of those guys, that has had an impact on what you're seeing defensively for the Toronto Maple Leafs. So for the Bruins, trying to get through this stretch, come back, round your game into form, get as healthy as possible, and be ready for the first round, wherever it may start.
All right, let's get to Sports Hub headlines. We'll continue here on the Sports Hub Hockey Show, and Joe Haggerty of NBC Sports Boston will join us coming up next.
4 minutes than Zdeno Chara. He's 23 and change this month of March, and Chara's in the 21 area. Obviously resting Chara and making sure he's, you know, fully rested and ready to go for the postseason. I think some of that, too, is that, you know, slowly but surely here, I think we're seeing Charlie McAvoy taking on that mantle of being the workhorse number one guy that's playing a ton, playing in all situations, and being the guy that, you know, when they get to the postseason, every team that goes on that two-month run, or almost every team that goes on that two-month run and wins the Cup, has a defenseman that's playing almost, you know, 28, 30 minutes a night, or certainly in the high 25-plus every night, every other night during the postseason, and can, you know, sustain his level of play and can handle that kind of workload. Chara's not going to be that guy for 2 months anymore. He just isn't. And McAvoy's going to have to be that guy, and I think we're starting to see him be that guy in all situations and everything he's doing. Obviously, he's still young. Mistakes are still made. You know, he's not perfect by any means. But I think you're seeing signs of him turning into that guy now and being the guy that the Bruins can rely on to be their workhorse in the playoffs. And they're absolutely going to need him. So all kinds of good signs from him. The one interesting thing now is if you're the Bruins, you know, once the season is over, what does that mean as far as his contract goes? You kind of thought after he lost all that time with injuries, you know, that maybe there was going to be a lower price tag. Maybe there's going to be more of a bridge deal. If he continues to play like he's playing now, if he has a great dominant playoff performance, you know, the Bruins have a tough decision to make as to, you know, where they're going to go with the negotiations and how much they're going to shell out for him, given I think, what he kind of wants, too, for a next contract. So interesting decision in you know, situation with him in the offseason, but it's all going to be a byproduct of him playing extremely well, which is good news for them and good news for him.
All right, Joe Haggerty, NBC Sports Boston. Of course, as always, appreciate the time.
You got it, guys. Take care.
All right, he joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. I guess apologies for a few technical issues on the radio side. Those of you listening on the app, that, you know, technology is a wonderful thing. You've been able, you got to hear the entire segment. We will continue here, and we can get to more of your calls coming up. 617-779-0985, and a chance to win some NCAA regional tickets up in Manchester coming up next as well.
This is where Boston talks hockey. The Sports Hub Hockey Show on the home of the Bees. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. It's the Sports Hub Hockey Show. 617-779-0985 for your calls. Drop it. Ryan Johnston, Bob Beers, Judd Surratt has taken his leave of us to head over to an early morning skate this morning for the Bruins because the ice is not available at the Garden today, right. So they have to allow Columbus to skate it. Warriors, so the Bruins on the ice a little bit earlier.
Yeah, 10:30 this morning, and I'm curious. You know, when you're not around for a while, like we were gone for a week, and you know, just you hear updates on injured guys. Well, this guy's skating on his own, and this guy's doing this. So I'm real curious as to where everybody is. You know, coming back home, we're only here for the one day. It's and then right. One game, I should say, and then we're back on the road for four more. So. Real curious as the status of some of the injured guys and where they stand. I mean, there's, you know, Ryan, when you look at it, I mean, I don't think anybody's in panic mode, right? But because they were on a good streak, now they've lost a couple games in a row. But big picture, injury-wise, you know, your leading goal scorer has an injured thumb. Mm-hmm. You know,
that's a potential big
How's he going to react? I mean, that's a big question right now. Jake DeBrusk, what's his injury? I don't know. You know, lower body. He tried to skate the other day and they shut him down for a little while. What's Kevin Miller's injury? I mean, this is a big part of your
fact that they came out and said he had some sort of a setback,
right.
That's scary.
You know, it's a big part of your defense, I think. And you know, they got good news on Grizzlick, encouraging news on Grizzlick, right? So where's his status right now? Didn't sound like Torrey Krug was anything serious. Johansson, bruised lung. And still, where does he fit in best on this team? Mm-hmm. I've never seen that injury. I've never heard of that injury. I've seen a punctured lung, and I've seen a guy play with it, but in the playoffs. But you know, bruised lung, and you know, how long does that take to get back? And still, where does he fit in best? Where does Coyle fit in best? You know, what does this team look like if everybody's healthy?
Well, and you're starting to run short on time. Like that's the concern. Is that look?
You've had injuries going into the last couple playoffs. Look, Brandon Carlo has not played a playoff game. Right, he's been injured two playoffs in a row, and he's playing some pretty good hockey right now. And he's you know, he's a guy that's going to be valuable for them against the Leafs in this first round. I'm assuming they're going to play them. It would take
a
lot to change for that not to happen. It's just a matter of where it's going to start.
But you're running short on I think we can expect that some of those guys that you were just talking about will be back in time for the playoffs, but.
That's why I'm curious this morning, you know, where everything stands.
Right. One of the things that Bruce Cassidy has said in the last couple of weeks is, you know, it depends kind of when Pastrnak gets back as to how he's going to handle where he goes back in the lineup. He'd like to get him a look with Krejci, but he also wants to make sure that he's comfortable and that he's going to be at his best when the playoffs start. So, you know, if he comes back this week, that's a big difference than if he comes back with, you know, just a couple of games to go in the season. I mean, the time is short here. We've only got a few weeks left before the playoffs start.
I mean, you know what he looks like with Bergeron. How he's going to come back from a thumb injury is still a very big question.
Sure.
But You know what he looks like with Bergeron. How does he look with Krejci? Is Heinen good enough to stay on that line with Bergeron? Does Coyle bump up and play somewhere up there? Where does Backes fit in? You know, where does Johansson fit in? Is he going to play with Krejci? Does he play on a third line with Coyle as a center? So there's, you know, I mean, Johansson on the left wing, Coyle in the middle. There's still a lot of questions. And as well as the fourth line played through that stretch, you know, Wagner, Corrali, Achari, you know, they've hit a little bit of a bump here too. Not so much Wagner, but, you know, Corrali, and especially last game, Corrali and Achari hit a little bit of a bump. And I think Bruce Cassidy sat them down a little bit towards the end of the first period. They bump Wagner up. So Wagner, you know, he's had a great season. Mm-hmm. I hope he wins a seventh player. That's a little plug there. So, there's so many questions still to be answered, and they knew that coming in, and because of the injuries, it's still left the questions unanswered, and that's going to be something. It's still something of an unknown. If you go by pairs, right, you got Bergeron and Marchand, and then you've got DeBrusque and Krejci, and then where does everybody else fit in?
Sure,
and then fourth line. I'd say fourth line is pretty well made up, as long as nothing else changes, they'll have that fourth line intact. So, you know, where does everybody else fit in? And there's still a lot of questions.
Well, we'll talk more about that in hour number two coming up. We get Sports Hub headlines here in just a second. But first, I'm going to give you a chance to go see some college hockey. Caller number 10 right now to the Pride Motor Group contest line at 617-931-0985. We'll score a pair of tickets to the NCAA men's ice hockey semifinals and regional finals at the SNHU Arena up in Manchester, March 29th and 30th. To get your tickets, visit Ticketmaster.com. But again, caller number 10 right now at 617-931-0985. We'll get a free pair of tickets from us. Mike O'Brien's got your headlines. We'll get to more of your calls coming up at 617-779-0985. Try not to confuse everybody. It's the Sports Hub Hockey Show.
This is the Sports Hub Hockey Show with Ryan Johnston, Judd Sirai, and Bob Beers on the home of the Bees, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub, Ryan Johnston and Bob Beers with you here on the Sports Hub Hockey Show. 617-779-0985. Bruins and Columbus tonight over at TD Garden, of course. And Judd and Bob will have the call of the action for that one as the Bruins try to snap a three-game losing streak tonight, dealing with myriad of injuries this week, and again, some of them we know more about than others, and some of the timelines we know a little bit more about than others, but even that, maybe we'll get a little bit more of an update for you here, even before the end of the show, perhaps. We'll wait and see on that, but we look at the injuries that they have. Pastrnak, DeBrusque, Johansson up front, Miller, Grizzlick, Krug on the back end. Some of these are obvious, you know, what the impact of it is. I mean, you take David Pastrnak out of the lineup, it has a significant impact on your scoring. A guy like Matt Grizzlick, you know, we've talked a little bit about him as the season has gone on, though, Beersy, that when you told me at the beginning, if you had told me at the beginning of the year, you know, Matt Grizzlick is going to get hurt in mid-March, and it's going to look, because when you saw that injury, it looked kind of nasty and looked like something that could be pretty ugly. And my immediate reaction was, oh, crap. Like, I don't think I would have had that reaction if you would have told me at the beginning of the year that that was going to happen. The strides that he has taken over the course of this season to become a legitimate top six defender on this team have been fascinating, I think, to watch, because there were some questions, I think, earlier about, like, what is this kid really? What is he going to be? And he's become a legitimate part of this defensive core that they rely on. And when he goes down the other night, I thought, oh, if they lose him for the playoffs, that's a big loss.
Well, I think he took those strides last year, to be honest with you, Ryan. I think he took strides to say, you know, he deserves to be in the lineup every day. There was a lot of hesitation early on to play him and Krug in the same lineup, and now there's not nearly as much hesitation. Now, they added John Moore in the offseason, and I think that was a good add because you needed to add to the depth of your defense. I mean, you saw injuries occur the last couple of seasons when the playoffs started, and now you're dipping down into, you know, guys who, especially a couple years ago against Ottawa. I mean, how many defensemen did they end up using that year? So, you know, I think, and Grzelcyk has taken another step this year. There's no question. You know, would he have been in the lineup opening day? I don't know if everybody was healthy, if he would have been in there, but his play has dictated the fact that he should be in there and needs to be in there. He's made himself, I'm not going to say learned, but he's made himself into a very good kind of defender, because his lateral movement and his ability to close plays off maybe in the neutral zone before they even get started. He's learned how to defend in his own zone with a real good stick, and he uses his feet. He defends with his feet. You know, he's real quick in those little areas down low. But that, you know, does he get overpowered once in a while? Yeah. You know, you've got to kind of, put him out there against the right people, if that's the right way to put it. You put him out, you know, he's really good at defending against smaller guys because, you know, you're not going to get overpowered. You know, I think sometimes if he's got any, he competes, and I'm not saying that, but he's not a big guy.
Sure.
So, you know, if he's going against an Anders Lee or something like that for the Islanders, just as an example, that's going to be a tough matchup. But he can battle against a lot of guys, and I think offensively, his game's still evolving and still needs to take another step, but he's made himself into a real good defender, a very good defender. And his puck, you know, his ability to skate, move the puck, you know, get it going north quickly, get going through the neutral zone. He's quick through the neutral zone. So, you know, those are all areas that are really good advantages for him. And if the playoffs start and everybody's healthy, you know, I assume that he's in the lineup, and then John Moore is a very, very good player coming off the bench for you.
Yeah, I mean, as your seventh defenseman, yeah. I mean, John Moore is a great option to
compete
have.
Competes hard. You know, he'll make some mistakes, but he, you know, the compete level's real high. And, you know, I think that they're, I mean, with Grzelcyk in the lineup, if everybody's healthy, Grzelcyk's in the lineup, and they're a better team for it. And he's made himself into that kind of player.
Different expectations obviously coming into the year, but Charlie McAvoy, I was talking with Joe Haggerty in the last half hour about Charlie McAvoy. He goes 27 minutes against Winnipeg the other night.
He was the best player on the ice, I thought, for the Bruins against Winnipeg.
He looks really engaged. He looks like, you know, offensively, you know, we've talked about it at times with him. You like to see him shoot a little bit more.
Yep.
You like to see him get a little bit more involved at times offensively, and
he's come through some pretty weird injuries. You know,
right.
He's come through some injuries, and it doesn't happen. Some guys recover more quickly. He had the, you know, concussion earlier in the year or whatever it was, and those injuries, there's no timeline for your return. You know what I mean? Even though when you're back on the ice, your return to form is sure. What I'm saying. And now he's back, and you're seeing the real thing. You know, you weren't seeing that earlier in the season when he was playing, coming off of an injury, and he was kind of battling through it, trying to figure out, you know, where he was after that injury. And now we've seen some funny injuries from him too, right? He had the heart ailment the knee injury, and then he came back from the knee injury, and I didn't think he was at his best early in the playoffs, and then towards the end against Tampa, he was back to form again. So what you're seeing right now is, I think, you know, what you expect from him. He's a guy that can be a game changer. He's making a difference in games and the way that he plays. You see his compete level, the way that it's a pretty good fight he had with Panarin. I didn't ask him. I'm surprised. Whether you're surprised if Panarin dropped the gloves or not, and then they show the highlights of Panarin doing MMA fighting in the off season or whatever. So that's a pretty good bout between those two guys. And you know, you love it. like that kind of fight? I mean, don't you like to see that once in a while?
Well, some, yeah, because star, you know what? Players? And it's what the Bruins needed right then, right? You know, it's like they needed a little fire in that game. They were getting, you know, they're getting blown out. And
well, they had just scored, the Bruins had, right? And that was right off the faceoff that he leveled them. You know, and then Panarin came back, kind of got him up a little bit high, and then McAvoy slashed him across the back of the legs, and all of a sudden they're going at it. I was like, oh, that's all right. You know what I'm saying? So, no, I mean, but the way that he's playing right now, you want him to be that difference maker, and you're seeing that from him.
All right, let's go to Dennis in New Hampshire up next here on the Sports Hub Hockey Show. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just kind of a little concerned that some of the pickups we made there at the trade deadline. You can't say much about Marcus Johansson. The poor guy got injured, okay? But Charlie Coyle, I mean, how many games has it been now? Maybe 10, 11 games? She's got one assist. You know, I don't want to get hung up on the statistics, but
he scored against Winnipeg.
I haven't seen any jam out of him at all. He doesn't go to the net. You know, he doesn't hit. The guy's just floating around out there. What do you guys think? I mean, is anybody else concerned about that?
I think
we could use him.
Thanks, Dennis. I mean, first and foremost, I think
he did get his first goal against.
He did score the other night. He's got 2 points since he got here. But first and foremost, I think the addition of Charlie Coyle right off the bat made your third line better to the point where you don't necessarily have to limit them to 8 or 9 minutes a night anymore. Now, he's also getting a look at wing, as you mentioned earlier, Bob, because of the injuries. They've kind of moved him around a little bit. But I was kind of lukewarm on that deal to begin with. He comes in here. I think it's 2 points. I mean, it's not going to jump out at you, but I think he's making a positive impact being in the lineup.
When he came in, I think the knock against him was there's more there. It's still the knock. There's more there. There's more right? there. Like he needs to be better.
The level of talent that he's got.
He's a big, strong guy. He protects the puck pretty well. Talking to some people, they say, you know, when he's protecting that puck down low and he holds on to it and he shakes off a defender, he's got to get some separation, you know, and you know, attack. So I think it's not bad what you're seeing from him, but there's more there.
Mm-hmm.
And I keep wanting that. I keep wanting to see that little bit more. The puck kind of rolls off a stick sometimes or, you know, there's, you know, he passes when there's some decision-making that's not quite there. You know, when he was playing center, I attributed a little bit of it to thinking instead of just playing. So defensively, I'm saying, because, you know, the centermen are required to do a lot of work inside their own zone and how they defend. And it's a lot different than the way that he played in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. You know, Minnesota, a lot more man-on-man. In Boston, it's not man-on-man. It's a much different system inside their own zone. And the centerman is required to do a lot of work. And there's some thinking involved there. But when you've done it rep after rep after rep, you know, it's not as much thinking. You're just kind of doing it. Mm-hmm. So I attributed a little bit of that to maybe thinking, overthinking it, maybe defensively, and then maybe that suffers at the offensive end. Well, now he's playing wing, so there's not as much, there's still responsibilities, but not as much, not as many responsibilities defensively. And you're playing with David Krejci. He's a very smart player. You know, you can play and read off of that, especially offensively. So I want to see more. And, you know, to the caller's point, you know, no, he doesn't hit a lot. Okay. I don't need him to run people over, but I do need him to be assertive and make sure that he wins his battles along the wall, which for the most part he does. Now I need to see more.
Well, now, and as you said, that was kind of the knock on him.
Leaves you wanting to see more.
That's kind of the knock on him in Minnesota is you look at him and
player.
Go, you know, this guy's got one 20-goal season to his credit. You'd think he should have more.
I do. And I think that there's, you know, and is that pop for him? Does it come? And, you know, does playing in your hometown and you just kind of got to get over the shock of it and not shock of it, you know what I mean? But, you know, the novelty of it and, okay, now we get back to playing. So trying to be, you know, you're patient with it. And it's not bad. It's not bad at all. Well, it's just you think that there's more there.
Again, just, you know, given the alternatives, it's an upgrade from where you were before the trade deadline. You know, having him in the lineup is an upgrade from where you were. Even if you'd like to see more out of him, you have upgraded that position.
And if everybody's back and healthy, does he fit best as the third line center? Probably. And then who are his wingers? You know, we haven't seen Johansson and him together.
Right.
How does that look? You know, is Johansson on the left side and maybe with that line? How does that look?
That's kind of my ideal is when everybody is healthy, that I put Pastrnak with Krejci. I think I put Heinen, you know, with the Bergeron line because that seemed to be working pretty well. And then I've got Coyle and, you know, with Johansson on that third line.
Yeah, if you go by pairs, then,
yeah,
you know, then that's, you know, then you can rotate some of the right wingers around and you know, you keep your constants with the pairs that way. I want to see that next gear. I want to see another gear from him. You know, a little level of urgency, a little bit more. But like I said, it's not bad. But it looks like there's more to his game than we're seeing.
617-779-0985. We can get to more of your calls coming up. Ryan Johnston and Bob Beers with you here on the Sports Hub Hockey Show.
The Bruins, the NHL. This is the show that's all hockey.
He scores!
The Sports Hub Hockey Show with Ryan Johnston, Judd Zerai, and Bob Beers. On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sports Hub Hockey Show continues here on a Saturday morning. Billy Jaffe will join us coming up at around 10:35 this morning. Get his thoughts about what's going on around the NHL. Teams getting into the home stretch here. 10-11 games to go in the regular season. We'll get to more of your calls here in just a second. I did want to bring up another name that I had on my list of guys to talk about this week, which is Solarik. Gets sent down to Providence. When he's been here, it's been kind of a mixed bag. You know, in a lot of games is not getting a tremendous amount of ice time when he is in the lineup. Gets sent back to Providence. We've seen kind of this, you know, a number of different. We've seen Frederick up here. We see Paul Carey the other night. We've seen, you know, these guys kind of come in and out throughout the course of this season. What do you think of Solarik's game? And more importantly, what do they think of Solarik's game? Because it seems like even when he is in the lineup, oftentimes he kind of, you know, ends up staple to the bench for a little while, or, you know, ends up not sticking around all that long.
There's a reason for that, and that's because, you know, he'll turn some pucks over at some bad times, or, you know, make a couple of little mistakes here and there, and you know, for a younger guy, the leash is a lot shorter. So when you're doing that, you know you need to make the right plays. You need to limit those errors, especially in critical times. They like him. And they think he's got the ability to be a good player. He's not a fast player, but he's a guy that can win a lot of battles and he can make plays. He thinks the game pretty well. But right now for him, it's a confidence thing, and he needs reps, and he needs some, you know, some significant practice time. And they don't have that right now. And we were talking about it off the air. They rarely practice because of the schedule and the way that it is. And when they do, it's pretty, you know, it's an abbreviated practice. And then the mistakes that he makes, they just, you know, there's certain mistakes you can live with. There's other ones you can't. And some of the mistakes that are made at critical times, they can't live with right now. So go down to Providence, play. He had a couple points, I think, last night in the game. Go down, play, get reps, you know, and be somebody and regain some of that, recapture some of that confidence so that when you do get called back up, you're ready to go. Now, if everybody's healthy and everybody's, you know, all things being equal, everybody's healthy, I don't think he's in your lineup when the playoffs start.
Sure.
But he's definitely a guy that can come in and help you in the way that he plays. And like I said, I think he thinks the game pretty well. And as long as he plays with pace, you know, he can be somebody that will help you in certain ways out there. But right now, some of those mistakes, some of those turnovers, some of those things that he's doing, just they can't happen at those times in games and for a younger guy especially.
I know.
He's going to be the guy that gets sat down.
But it's a, you know, it's a fine line you have to walk because, like, you know, the guy's not going to get better at the NHL level if he's not playing. But at the same time, your team has to win games because you're trying to get home ice in the playoffs. Yeah. So, you know, it's a difficult line to walk. It's like, how
like
much
I said, he's still
do?
A younger guy that has a shorter leash,
but I guess my question be, you know, you say they like his game, but like you send him down to Providence. He needs to play, needs to practice, needs to get time. I understand all that. But at the same time, it's like, you know, who are you replacing him with in the lineup when you've got three injuries up front? Like, is there anybody that they're bringing in that can fill that role better than Solarik does? Because
I like Carey's game the other day. It's only one game, so it's hard to, you know, hard to qualify that. But, you know, one game was very good. Now, he's an NHL veteran, though.
Right.
Or he's a guy that, and I think Bruce Cassidy turned him as a tweener the other day when we were talking with him. You know, a guy that can put up a lot of points in the American Hockey League. In the NHL, where does he fit? Now, they played him as an offensive guy. They played him with Krejci the other day, and I think he made some good plays in that game. So does he build on it, or is he kind of the novelty wear off after one or two games? We'll see. But, you know, I would expect to see him back there today unless DeBrusk is back in the lineup.
Let's go to Josh in Worcester. You're up next here on the Sports Hub Hockey Show.
Hey, what's up, guys? How are you?
Morning.
You guys pretty much touched on the majority I was going to say, but that guy was talking about Jam as far as Coyle. That's not Coyle's game. He's a defensive forward. He plays up and down, and he's strong on the puck. He's strong on the wall.
That's what I was saying, though. I don't need to see him run over people. It just protect the puck well. I don't think he's a defensive forward by any means, but I think he's somebody that can play a 200-foot game.
Yeah, I think he's got some defensive side to him that he works.
I think that there's more to him offensively that we're not seeing yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I agree. And as far as a lineup right now, I would like to see Wagner get a look with DeBrusque and Krejci. I think we'd get a kick out of that. I mean, Wagner plays real good hockey.
I appreciate the call. That is a very underrated move. You know, or at least it was. I think it's becoming less and less underrated now because he has played a much bigger role on this team than I think a lot of people would have expected.
I think when he signed, I knew Wagner better than I knew Nordstrom. So signed the two of them. I said, you know, I liked Wagner because he finishes every hit. You know, he goes through guys. He works extremely hard. I didn't know Nordstrom as well, who I actually was a pretty good signing too. And I you know, fully admit that I didn't see that. I said, well, why can't we get somebody from Providence, somebody that's kind of homegrown to be able to do that role? And maybe, you know, maybe that's the case here moving forward. But Wagner's filled a very good role for them. He's a straight-ahead player. He goes through everything as advertised, and the goal scoring has come for him. He's made a couple of nice moves on some of the goals that he scores. So, you know, he was a guy that they said, okay, he can play different forward positions, and he can play up and down your lineup. He can fill in different roles. So, you're seeing that in games. I think where he fits best is probably on that fourth line, that identity that they have on that fourth line. But if somebody's not going, they move him up. And that's exactly what's happened, you know, over the past, especially last game against Winnipeg.
I mean, he had 17 goals in almost 200 NHL games coming into the year, and he's got 12 of them this year.
Identity is never going to be a goal scorer, but it's, well, I don't think it is, but he's added a little bit, you know, a timely goals that he scored, but it's just the grit and the you know, the physical play. And I want to see him. The Bruins are at their best when he is on that fourth line and they have the identity and, you know, they're starting games and they're playing against the other team's top lines. They couldn't do that the other day because they had a rough first period. A couple of guys did, and so they had to kind of go. They had to deviate from that plan of having that line be hard to play against and play against Shifley. Right.
Let's grab Jake in the car up next here on the Sports Hub Hockey Show. Good morning.
Gentlemen, thanks. Beersy, I think you're I like Coyle. I think he's a bottom six guy. I think he's a 7, 8, 9 guy. And I don't think that there's, you know, I don't think there's when you unpeel that onion, he's not going to be a 20-goal scorer every year. I think he's a great guy to have on your third line. He's not a, you know, he's not a banger, but he is solid. He's not soft, but he doesn't play hard either. He's not an energy guy like Wagner. But I don't think Wagner has, you know, he's having a great year, but he's a fourth line guy, and, yep. and you're right. He plays a great role as a fourth liner. I love Carey the other night. I mean, I'd love to see him get a chance in the top six. I know he's a journeyman, but he looked really good the other night. And like you said, maybe that's just an adrenaline rush from finally getting called up and getting put with Krejci. But he did more the other night than Solarik's done in the last 10 games. I mean, Solarik, like you said, can't play at pace. He hasn't demonstrated, other than on a few occasions, that he can play with pace. If he can't play with pace, he can't play in the show. That's the bottom line. So thanks, guys. Great show.
All right. Appreciate the call.
Spot on.
Yeah. And to me, Coyle, it's look, if you're a third-line center, you don't need to be a 20-goal scorer. It would be nice if you could be every year.
Right.
But, you know, it's a lot of teams don't have a third-line center that's going to put up 20 on a regular
right, so
basis.
Bottom line is let's look at matchup right now, just the first round in Toronto. Okay, yep. So their three centers are, you know, Matthews, Tavares, Kadri. All right? So you needed somebody, and I know that, and I'd asked Don Sweeney this a few weeks ago. We did a something with the season ticket holders. Do you base the trade deadline? It was before the deadline. Do you base the trade deadline on who you might play in the first round? And he said, no. He says, just base it on need. You know, and but when you're going to try to match up, you know, who's your third line center to match up against Kadri? You'd have to play Achari, you know, not specifically against him, but if you want to have one,
but
two,
those
three.
Those would be your top three.
Yeah,
centers.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So they didn't have that before. Now they do with Coyle. And I do think that we'll see him as the third line center when the playoffs start. They're experimenting with some things now, some of it based out of need, some of it based on let's see what it looks like. So I ideally, in an ideal world, okay, you know, third line center, who's his wings? I don't know yet. I really don't know yet. You know, I don't know if Backes is a fit there. I don't know. Is Nordstrom a fit there? Is Johansson a fit there? I don't know. Does Wagner fit there? I mean, I don't think so, but who knows? I mean, those are things that they still have to figure out and still very much in question what your lineup looks like when the puck is dropped for the opening for the playoffs. So, Judd, I just got a text from Judd. Pastrnak out on the ice taking wrist shots. Good sign.
That's good.
DeBrus taking rushes with David Krejci here in morning skate.
Okay, interesting. All right.
He just took all my headlines.
Well.
DeBrus taking rushes with Krejci and Coyle.
With Krejci and Coyle.
Yep.
All right, interesting.
So Coyle on the right.
Mike O'Brien will tell us that information again.
Sorry, Mike.
And we will talk with Billy Jaffe coming up next here on the Sports Hub Hockey Show.
Get in on the discussion. 617-779-0985. The Sports Hub Hockey Show. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. It's the Sports Hub Hockey Show. Just real quick, Bob was giving us update from morning skate this morning. Marchand, Bergeron, Heinen, DeBrusk, Krejci, and Coyle. Carey with, did you have?
I'll give it to you. Give it to you right now. One second here. All right. Backes, Achari, Nordstrom.
Okay.
And then Corrali centering Wagner and Carey.
All right. I've also seen Frederick centering Wagner and Carey, too. So.
Yeah, well, I just got something that said Wagner, or that Frederick took a rush with Pastrnak, so.
Okay. Billy Jaffe.
I'm sure they're weighing a couple different options. I mean,
sure.
You got the emergency recall thing, so, you know, if guys are healthy, if DeBrus is back in, then somebody's got to go back down. Or they make it a regular recall. And there's some rules in place where you only get four recalls. It's a silly rule, but they have to be careful on how they manage their roster because of it.
You have unlimited number of emergency recalls if you have injuries, as we were talking about.
Which they've been
earlier,
utilizing.
Which that's not a problem right now. We welcome in Billy Jaffe of Nesson, joins us each week on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline to talk about what's going on around the NHL. Good morning, Billy.
Hi, can I jump on something real quick?
Please do.
Talking about
it's a
stupid rule that the NHL has with these four recalls at the end of the year. I wanted to talk about it the other day on Ness. Didn't get a chance to. It's Bob talked about it. You're only allowed four full recalls. I don't know why the NHL still does it this way, because you're not only hurting your better teams in the NHL, you're hurting your American League teams too at times. And I just open it up like baseball. Once the trade deadline is done, open up the rosters. I mean, you have to have some, I guess, some barometer, some point. But these, you know, the Bruins really had to make sure at that trade deadline that they did it right after that, that they didn't call anybody up on a regular recall. They had to make sure that they were on it. And it's a real kind of massaging type of a system that they have to do. So they're good right now, as you and Bob said, because so many darn injuries. But it's an antiquated rule as far as I'm concerned.
The way it's explained to me now, Billy, is it doesn't really hurt the Bruins as much because, you know, they haven't mathematically solidified a playoff spot, but they're in a playoff spot, right? And it doesn't hurt the top teams. It doesn't hurt the bottom teams. It hurts the teams that are fighting for playoff spots and the most. And, you know, there's probably a dozen teams there or whatever that are still fighting for spots and still have an opportunity and fighting for position that it kind of hurts the most. And yeah, it's kind of a silly rule. I'm not sure why it's in there, but whatever, live with it. And you got to manage that roster because of it.
Right, I said my piece.
Well, we got some things to talk about, obviously, going on around the league. But let's start with the Toronto Maple Leafs, because this is a team that, you know, the Bruins and Maple Leafs are on a collision course for the first round. Maple Leafs playing okay hockey, but defensively has always been kind of their question mark, Billy. What are you seeing out of the Leafs? They've been giving up a lot of goals lately. Is that still a as big a question mark as it has been in the past?
It's more of a question mark. And actually, it's actually their defense stinks. And I'm not even talking their defensive crew. I'm talking about their team defense. You know, they give up 6 to Tampa in a game where some of their players pretty much admitted that they didn't show up in the third period. The Q word, kind of, hey, we quit, came out. One of their players said, yeah, we kind of didn't show up, kind of quit in the third, which is not a good sign this time of year. They give up 5 to the Blackhawks. They scratch and claw. You know, and don't get me wrong. I know the Bruins gave up 4 or 5 to Columbus before they scratch and clawed their way back, only to lose that game. But the Blackhawks are not as good a team as Columbus, and they did that. Last night, they gave up 6 to Philly. Yes, they came back. What were they down that game? 5-1 or something like that? 5-2 in that game last night?
Yeah.
And they come back. But their defensive structure is really poor. Freddie Anderson has been really, I mean, rampantly on the roller coaster ride of goaltending the last couple of games, too. They missed Jake Gardner. They missed Dermott. But, you know, this is actually helping a guy like Jake Gardner out right now. Make the case that, you know, he took a ton of heat for his performance in Game 7 at TD Garden last year, when I believe he was a -5, if I remember correctly, in that game. But he's been okay for them this year. He's out with an injury. The word is he might not be back till playoffs now. They were hoping he'd be back next week, but he might not make it back until the playoffs. So their D-structure and D-crew are poor, really poor right now.
Last year, Freddie Anderson played a lot of hockey in the regular season. He was pretty good for Toronto. This year, I'm just looking at some stats right now, Billy, with Freddie Anderson, and I know that he struggled a little bit recently. He has the most saves in the NHL this year. He has the second most shots against, behind Hellebuck. So, I mean, this is the same situation. He hasn't played quite as many games, but he's not that far off either. So a lot of action for him. And when he plays, he's going to see a lot of action defensively. I look at Toronto as saying defensively, you know, are they, and there's so big question mark, do they have enough grit? And I think they lost a big net front presence last year with Van Riemsdyk going. So, I mean, those are the areas I look to. If you're going to play them in the first round, those are the areas I think you look to attack.
There's no question. You remember last year the Bruins repeatedly attacked their right side defense. That's where Hainsey was playing with Morgan Riley. And by the way, the whole Jake Muzzin, he was supposed to be Jake Muzzin trade. It was going to put them over the top to have him play with Morgan Riley. That never really worked. So Hainsey's back in there right now. They got Zaitsev and Oshaganov, and it's still just not solidified over there. And I agree with you about Freddie Anderson. I watched him last night. He almost whiffed on a puck, or actually he whiffed on it. He almost knocked it into his own net. The game was tied at 5-5. I mean, he made a huge save to keep him in it, and then the team went down to score. But he has played a lot of hockey. He ends up on his bum an awful lot, too. He's a good goalie. But he's being touted as a Vezina finalist. Maybe it'll happen.
That's a Toronto
thing. From the sheer amount of people that see him play and promote his wins and everything. But overall, I think there's definitely a weakness to be had there.
Let's talk a little bit about the defending champs. I think we talked about them at a few points during the course of the season about, you know, where their game is at. You look at what they've done this month. They lose to Pittsburgh on Tuesday night, but that's their only blemish on the dance card recently. And they're winning games by two or three goals almost every night. Do you look at them as, you know, being, obviously they're trying to win the Metro Division first and foremost here, but do you look at them as being, you know, near the level of Tampa Bay in the postseason? Do you look at them as being, you know, a threat to go all the way again?
Do I look at them being at the near the level of Tampa? Well, they play tonight, so they have a better idea where they stack up for this time of year. Again, it's not nearly the same intensity as playoffs would be, but I think this will have a playoff feel to it, the game. I think that they can challenge Tampa, especially because when, you know, Bob brought up the physical play against Toronto. Beers, do you agree with me? If there's one thing that Tampa doesn't handle well, is the physical play, too. The pushback. I mean, I know they're a dynamite team, but I think that physically, and I watched it, you know, from ringside last year in the Eastern Final, Tampa got throttled at times by the repeated, you know, tenderization process of the Washington Capitals, especially the third and fourth line. And even the guys like Tom Wilson last year really ran over the defense of the Washington, Tampa Bay.
He runs over everybody.
Yes.
I think so, Billy, and I do agree with you. I think that they've got some grit on that team, maybe underestimated to a certain degree, but Washington is a big team. I don't think they get enough credit for they can beat you in some different ways. They're not just that offensive, you know, count on Ovechkin to score type of team anymore. They've got some pretty good weapons on that team, and they play a pretty heavy game.
They do, and I think that could give Tampa some issues again if they get there. Do I think they can make a run, RJ? Sure, I do. They're getting themselves kind of righted at the proper time of year, coming off the tough All-Star break where they all need a rest. We talked about it last week. They're feeling good. I like what I'm seeing right now from the third line. Brett Connolly had a couple of goals the other day. As he says, this is the best he's ever felt playing. And, you know, Lars Eller, I mean, I'm mixed on Lars Eller, but he plays his
role on that team pretty. I'm not a fan of his, but he's a pretty good player.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he fits his role on that team. And you add Carl Hagelin to the mix, and Dowd is taking over a role there. And I said the same thing last week, too. Your call-up guy is Devontae Smith-Pelly. And if he can get to anywhere near the level he was last year in the playoffs, you need to call him up. That's a good guy to call.
Yeah, they added Nick Jensen on the back end. So, that's a good team. So, out west, Billy, it started to take a little shape. Is Arizona really going to make the playoffs?
Certainly looks like it.
All the injuries that they had, and nobody distanced themselves in the West. Minnesota's gone the other way. Colorado, you know, threatened. They're going the other way. Chicago's still making a little bit of noise, but they're still 6 points out, even though they've won four in a row. Arizona is in the second wild card right now. They're 2 points behind Dallas.
Yeah, how about the way that Rick Tocchet has just kept it strong? I mean, Tocchet is he's one of those guys. He's like a Gerard Gallant, where the players just talk about him as a player's coach and his strength and his confidence and his accountability factor. And you know, we see that here with the guy like Bruce Cassidy too a lot. But Rick Tocchet, if that team makes it to the playoffs, I don't know if he'll win the Jack Adams, but he's got to be in talks for it. With given Bob, as you say, and RJ, the injuries that they've had, you know,
Barry Trotz, right? I mean,
I'd say Trotz, and I would say Bruce.
Yeah,
Yeah, but he'd be in there. There's no doubt about it. But how about the Darcy Kemper, Beersy? I mean, look, I like the Darcy Kemper deal for the backup for them last year, but to think that he could take over for Antti Raanta, the guy that
who played well when he was healthy this year, but he's out for the year. And Kemper has stepped up. He's a big kid. He has absolutely been beautiful for them. He had a bad game the other night where they lost by, I don't know if it was a bunch of goals, but he steps in the next, I think it was 8-2 they lost. The next night they win. And he steps right in there and just washes it right off his back. And so they're a team that I still watch him play, and I'm like, man, oh, man, I don't know if I get it, but, you know, guys are stepping up. Ekman Larson, Vinny Hinostroza, Grabner's back. I tip my cap to them. I'd like, you know what, fellas, if they make the playoffs this year, I think it does a lot for this team. I really do. They weren't supposed to make it. They don't have a ton of star power, and they might not have a 20-goal score. They might not have a 20-goal score to make the playoffs.
All right, Billy, just a couple of minutes left with you. So let's talk a little bit about the Columbus Blue Jackets are in town tonight. Bruins just saw them a few nights ago, and it did not go particularly well. If all things, if things finish the way they are right now, Columbus is playing Tampa Bay in the first round. They're going to be in the Atlantic Division playoffs. So first, what do you expect this game to look like tonight? How is it different than what we saw in Columbus the other night? And then, you know, are they capable, especially with the changes that they made at the trade deadline, are they capable of taking a run at Tampa Bay in the first round if indeed that ends up being a matchup?
I don't think so, could they win a game or two? Yeah, I mean, they won the first two games last year over Washington, only to lose in six after that. And it was a goalpost or a crossbar that may have kept them from actually advancing. But I just don't know if they have enough depth when it's all said and done. Yes, they're a better team. I think at times, if Dogoski obviously can steal a game, they have a chance. But Josh Anderson, to me, I know Boone Jenner had a hat trick the other day. I don't know if Beersy agrees with me or not, but I still say that Anderson was their most dominant player the other night in Columbus. I thought he ran roughshod over the Bruins.
Him and Seth Jones.
Yeah, Jones is great, too. You're right. I just thought that Anderson set the tone in so many ways. And to me, what do I expect to see? The difference I expect in this game, RJ, is the Bruins to protect the front of their net better. Boy, did they not handle the play well when Columbus brought the puck below the goal line and then they brought the puck back to the front of the net. The Bruins' defensive deciphering of picking up bodies and recognition and sticks and everything was bad in that game. I know they came back, but I just thought that Columbus did what they wanted to do once they got the puck in deep. And the difference in this game better be that the Bruins have to play better in their own zone, especially in front of their net.
All right, Billy, appreciate the time as always. You guys doing an hour tonight?
We are. 6 o'clock, we start.
Excellent. We'll be tuned in. Appreciate the time.
Thanks, buddy. See you guys.
Billy Jaffe joining us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline.
Josh Anderson, by the way, last night, 21 and a half minutes, led all forwards for Columbus in that game. Had a goal. Seth Jones, almost 27 minutes in that game. He'll play a lot again tonight.
All right. Well, we will be listening tonight, 6:30 pregame, 7 o'clock faceoff here on the Sports Hub with Judd Surratt and Bob Beers on the call. We are back with you for another edition next week. You guys will be on the road down in Florida, I believe, next Saturday. Beersy shrugs his shoulders. It's tough to keep up. You guys are making the rounds around North America the last week or two.
Still got seven more on the road.
Yeah, so we've got plenty more to talk about next week with you. Stick around for an abbreviated edition of Gasper and Murray coming up next, because the Celtics are coming up at noontime today, the pregame show, and 12:30 tip-off over at the Garden as well. We'll talk to you next week.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all 6 world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at Boston Scores.org/Noah.